Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of River Dudes. Before we start tonight's episode, I have a sad announcement to make. Ross Airhorn Jones will no longer be able to be part of the show.
Over the next couple months or so, a lot of stuff is going to be hitting the news. I mean, crimes that were not necessarily mentioned on this program. And we don't want you to judge him too harshly. This is coming from the mind of a sick, sick person. And we pray for his family.
Hey, guys.
Ross?
What are you doing here?
I broke out of jail.
What do you mean you broke out of jail?
You broke out of jail for what?
I want to do the episode tonight.
Oh, but... I mean, it's not that important. You were in jail.
It's a season finale, man.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of River Dudes. I am your host, EJ Leeson. Happy to be here tonight. And with me is my co-host, fresh out of jail, Ross Airhorn Jones. What's up, man?
Well, what's up, man? What's up?
How's prison life going?
Oh, it's swell.
It's swell? Is it going all right?
Yeah, it's going pretty good.
That's good. So nothing crazy or...
No, I didn't get shanked.
Oh, well, that's great. With us tonight is no stranger to the show, one of our favorite guests to have on, Rory Calarossi. How's it going, bud?
I am absolutely terrified to be sitting across the table from a convicted felon. So, whatever.
Yeah.
Ross, keep both hands on the table, buddy.
Yeah, just put your hands on the table and keep them there the whole time, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Don't really have to do that.
For the listeners at home, Ross took out his hands and put them on the table.
Which leads me to believe that he might actually be doing the things we thought.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So tonight, guys, we are talking about the season finale of season 2 of Riverdale. Now, I can't believe we are here already. Like, we're already wrapping up season 2. Like,
we're wrapping it up.
It's crazy.
I know. I told you guys right from the beginning that you would never make it and that you shouldn't even try.
Right.
And here we are.
Right. And we tried it and we did okay.
Yeah. And the episode's not over, so you still might fail.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
We did more than okay. We're the biggest Riverdale podcast out.
I'm going to check the numbers on that one. And I'll get back to you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, are we the biggest, like, how are we doing on our prison demographic? Are we doing okay over there?
Everybody loves the podcast.
Prison.
Well, one of our favorite demographics are prisoners.
Oh, yeah. We always talk about that. There's a listener named Stabby Joe.
Right.
He writes in all the time, and he's just like, I'm going to kill the warden.
Right.
I don't think he realizes who he's writing into.
Yeah, but his letters look so nice. They're written in blood.
Yeah. Hopefully his own.
Right. Oh, yeah, Stabby Joe. I don't know. I always took it as a self, like a masochist kind of thing.
Yeah.
But is that Stabby Joe because he's stabbing other people?
Well, you know what? One day I'll write back to him and we'll find out.
Yeah. All
right. Season 3, we're going to have the answer to this for all of you at home.
We will try.
On the edge of your seat.
We'll try to get Stabby Joe to call in for an episode.
This is Stabby Joe.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm really happy to be here.
We're happy to have you, Stabby Joe.
I'm happy to be here, I think.
Can you guys send me a cake?
Can EJ do one of those doodles of me?
I sure can, Stabby Joe.
Can you just not draw the swastika on my forehead?
make sure to get my eyes. Yeah. No one gets my eyes right.
That's why I'm in here. Get it right or I'll stab you one.
All right.
So anyway. I love your guys' characters.
Oh, yeah. I love you, man.
Stabby Joe's a real guy.
He's real. He's not even a character.
Can't make that up.
Eugene, my bunkmate, I mean, he loves the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
As he assaults Ross, he listens to it.
He just beats up Ross. He's like, I love your episode.
This is the best one yet.
I love all your work.
It's like soap inside a pillowcase.
Sign my pillowcase that's wrapped around your head. Please.
Here you go, Aeon.
Oh, Eugene, prison mate.
He's so hot.
He's cool. So tonight we're talking about Chapter 35, Brave New World, which shares a title with the 1998 TV movie starring Leonard Nimoy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
We're on Spock territory. The unknown country.
Oh, undiscovered.
Undiscovered?
Yes. Yeah.
One of my favorites. I was drinking a lot tonight.
And then this episode is directed by Stephen A. Adelson, who has done episodes of Blacklist and 12 Monkeys. He actually directed, in season one, he directed episode 6, Faster Pussycat Kill Kill, where Josie and the Pussycats perform and Josie's dad is there to see it. And Archie's pumped because he has to. He originally was going to sing with Veronica, and then he sings with Val, then he's like, I'll just sing by myself. That episode, great episode.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I thought his name sounded familiar.
And then this episode was written by the creator of the show, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa.
Mm.
Yeah, great writer.
It's got that Roberto kind of thing to it.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really good. So, Ross, do you want to start us off and recap this show for us?
Yeah, let's go. Season finale. Let's do
it.
Ross Jones. Here he goes, breaking it down.
Breakdown.
Breakdown.
Break it down. Go ahead.
Chuck starts the episode in the hospital. Looking pretty good, considering how bad it looked for him at the end of the last episode.
Jughead or Jason Todd?
Oh, right. Right.
Go on, Ross Jones.
And then FP tells Jug that Fangs is still alive, and Jug's like, he's still alive? Like, he's not surprised.
So first we get, like, the graveyard psych out.
Yeah.
Where, like, Betty, Archie, and Veronica are standing over Jughead's grave, and they're holding his hat, and like, no, like, they couldn't kill him off in this.
Yeah.
And then it just is a bad dream.
It says that it's Jughead Jones the Third.
Right. Yeah.
So there were two other Jugheads?
Well,
His grandpa.
Well, yeah, his real name's Forsythe.
Forsythe.
Yeah, so him, like, his real name is FP, but they just call him Jughead.
See, I was kind of hoping it was like a Jughead Hieronymus Jones was like the grandfather.
Well, his sister is Jellybean.
I want to know all about that naming process.
Yeah, they're like,
what's the first thing we see in this trailer?
There's a jug. God, Jughead.
A jug and a head. I see a jug and a head.
Hey, we're about to have a daughter. What should we name her?
I see a Jellybean on the ground.
Well, it's Easter. What have we got lying around here?
That's in here. There's a Jellybean over there. Let's name her Jellybean.
Yeah, good enough.
That or Peeps.
What's that? Peeps was almost the thing.
Peeps Jones.
Peeps Jones.
All right.
Put her in the microwave and she expands.
She can't.
That's why she doesn't live with FP anymore.
Right? They keep putting her in the microwave.
You're growing up so fast.
Stop it!
Anyway.
So Jug wakes up to FP recapping everything that happened.
Yep.
And that the serpents are no more.
Yep.
And Fangs is actually still alive, and that the sheriff, it was actually, that it was a ploy to get everyone riled up to fight each other.
Which, the whole breakdown of the war.
Right.
I haven't seen such a lazy off-screen war since the Hunger Games. Mockingbird. Part 2. Yeah, that's not like the most amazing thing happened, and you don't get to see it.
Well, it's really funny, because in Twilight, right, and me and Casey talk.
Please go into this.
Okay, so me and Casey talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. That she didn't like. She wouldn't really write action scenes. So like when Bella is bitten by James. Now, do you remember this movie at all? Do you kind of like recall it a little bit? A tiny bit.
I think I have like PTSD from reading, from seeing the movie. I never read the book.
Oh yeah, no. So in the book, once James bites her, the venom goes in her bloodstream. She passes out and she doesn't remember anything. So she wakes up in the hospital, just like this, and basically everything is recapped to her, like what happened. It's like, oh yeah, Edward and James got into it and they were fighting, and then
sounds like something really exciting to read,
right? But in the book, they like it's just all recapped through a character telling what happened instead of like reading what happens. Like you,
that's like that those Hunger Game movies.
Well, like, yeah, remember, that's like, what happens in the third book. But like, she gets knocked out from the bombing.
It's terrible in both versions because it's just like they're leading up to it. They're like, this war is going to be the most incredible thing that ever happened. And then she passes out and they're like, oh yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
And as a viewer, you're like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I want blood.
Shame on you, Hunger Games writer.
Yeah. But no, it's very similar to Twilight, like Jughead getting the recap of like this whole war.
You're just like, come on.
I know.
Can I see like a nice insert? Right. Something. Show me a little part of this serpent war. Which sounds like it would have been amazing to see.
And I love when we got FP to sorry, I'm like laughing so much. But when FP uses a snake pun.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, that we were outnumbered. It was like
snakes
shooting
in a barrel.
Shooting snakes in a barrel. And I'm like, all right.
You're just like,
he always, FP is like the king of like throwing out snakes.
Yeah, he makes about as many snake puns as Ross Jones commits crimes.
Right, which is a lot. The
time, yeah.
Once an episode.
And then FP near Jughead's bedside, he says the serpents fought hard, but were outnumbered by the ghoulies.
Right.
And anyone ever see Ghoulies go to college? Yeah, Ghoulies 3.
Ghoulies 3. That's a good... Ghoulies is a weird franchise.
Yeah, that's what I always think of when the show says things like
that. The second one's at the theme park, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I like that one probably the most. But go ahead, bud.
And then FP says that Sunnyside Trailer Park burned down, and he says the serpents are basically gone.
Which, again, would have been amazing to see.
Right. Yeah, he's like, our trailer held up, but everything else is gone.
Because we're like central to the show, so our trailer's fine.
Our trailer's okay.
Pays to be in the lead cast.
Yeah. Go ahead, Russ.
And then Cheryl signs the papers to become emancipated from her mom.
Oh, yeah. We see that Cheryl... Okay, so first we see where V vows that she's going to help Fred with his campaign.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, it's going to be like my full-time job. I'm going to drop out of running for president, for class president, and put all my focus into you winning. And he's like, okay, if you want to do that, sure. Like, Fred's the bomb, so I don't blame her.
Fred's cool.
And then,
by the way, before we go too far, do we skip past Betty and Jughead in the hospital room together?
Yes, yes.
Did we skip past that?
Oh, no. That's, we see it a little bit later.
Okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Right. Yeah. So they do have, okay. So it goes to Veronica and then we get where the gang are all at the hospital bed together.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out who the second hood is because she's like, oh, it was my father that was the Black Hood. I'm so sorry. And, like, if you're angry or upset with me and Archie being Archie, which is awesome, is like, no, there's a second shooter. Who could
be? Yeah, I got that in my notes next.
Yeah.
I got, the gang then considers the mystery of the second Black Hood. They are certain that Hiram had something to do with the other Black Hood's crimes.
Right. Yeah. And so they're like, well, what should we do? Maybe Sheriff Mendetta. And Archie's like, well, I have to...
Sheriff who?
Sheriff Shady.
Thank you.
Yeah. they're like, maybe it was him that did it. And because he was supposed to be protecting the town hall.
Yeah.
But he was nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
And then where was he, like, during the riots? Like, no one really saw him around either.
You know why? Because it was Hawkeye.
Yeah, it was Hawkeye the whole time. He's just lurking out there.
It's no mystery, guys.
But I'm surprised Veronica was like, no, I saw him at the station talking to my mom. They were planning to do, like, a bounty hunt on the Black Hood, like, in the last episode. We do see Sheriff Mineta at the police station during the riots, but that's about it,
That part, by the way, where Betty's in the hospital room with Jughead, she's, like, snuggled up on him.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think about when I was watching the episode was, like, how much pain Jughead would be in just having her, like,
touch him
into him like that. Because he looked so bad the last episode.
Yeah.
He was, like a pile of blood.
He lost a pound of flesh, according to Penny.
A pound?
Yeah. I want my pound of flesh.
That's a lot of flesh.
Yeah.
He was looking real bad. And then, like, you see him in this episode. He's got a couple scratches.
Yeah. He's like, hey, how's everything going? And they're like, you looked dead.
Which arm? Is this arm around her? I'm like, is that the arm that did she cut the skin off of?
Maybe they gave him a Lazarus pit. They put him in.
There's a lot of Batman references we're going to be making this episode, because I got a couple.
So, like Ross said before, Cheryl wants to emancipate herself from her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is getting all the papers signed that her and Nana Rose will be in charge of the estate and everything.
Yeah.
And so she's about to go get the paper signed by her mother, and that's when Cheryl spots Claudius and Penelope meeting up with Hiram in the garage.
No, it's a barn.
It's a barn. It's a barn.
I just started laughing because I was just wondering what life must be like inside the barn.
Right?
Like Penelope and Claudius just living in that barn. Because it's not like a nice barn.
No.
It's not like it's all decked out or anything. It's like it's a barn, and they're just living in there.
Yeah.
And I was looking at Penelope, and she's all dolled up and stuff, but I'm like, there's probably not a bathroom in there.
Right. Maybe there's a hose.
She looked, just like... Oh, there's a hoe in there. Oh! Because she wants a brothel. Not women shaming, guys.
No.
Don't write letters.
But go ahead, bud.
And then Allison eggs on all the onlookers who wants a glimpse of the Hood's house. Yeah,
she's like, you know, yelling a reference that we'll talk about later, and she's yelling that, and she's like, yeah, this is the house, you creeps, like, this is where he did it, like, this is where he lived.
Come inside. Check it out.
Yeah. Step just like, inside. No, no. Walk this way. You and me, babe.
Hey. It would be funny if she's just like, yeah, this is where he was. This is where he lived. Why don't you come inside? And she's just like, no, seriously, come inside. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. She has like memorabilia set up.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to make a buck off this. It's like this is
house.
His favorite carpet. Oh no,
it's gone.
This is his favorite toiletries in the corner.
This is Hal's classic collection of toiletries. He has the first ever made roll of toilet paper.
Yeah, made out of rock.
What the hell?
Rock toilet paper?
I don't think
this is gonna work. The first trial of toilet paper.
Jail, like, has changed you.
That's what he has to use in pen. It's like, sorry guys, we don't have money in the budget for toilet paper. Go get rock.
We have a rock.
Yeah, Eugene gave me the rock.
Eugene, you can use my rock. Just clean it off afterwards.
Just rinse it in the toilet a couple times. Don't get pee-pee on it.
This is my bathroom rock. I take it with me everywhere.
Oh my god.
And now we are down to like first grade humor.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead, man.
All right, and then Betty isn't taking her dad being the Black Hood too well, doesn't seem like. She refuses to return to school. She's afraid to show her face at school.
Yeah, and I like this moment because Archie and her kind of have, like, this cool bond. Because she's like, you hate my father, right? Archie doesn't say anything. Mm. And she's like, I hate him. She's like, I'm embarrassed to, like, go back to school. Like, what he did to Midge, what he did to everyone. Like, I can't show my face there ever again.
Yeah.
And then Veronica and Archie are kind of like,
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, you should never go to school again.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed for you.
Right. No, but they're good friends. You know what I mean? Like, they're there and they're like, no, that's your father. It's not you. You know?
Yeah. And they, and Betty was his neighbor for forever. So, like,
yeah.
She sees the, you know, how bad he is and, like, you know, how terrible what he did. But, like, they just don't want to. I don't know. They just don't want to say that he's a bad person. They just, you know.
Right. They're saying Betty in this episode, we can deconstruct her for a second. But basically in this episode, she's really struggling with who she is and what her family is.
Yeah.
And the difference between her and her father. And is that gene passed down because his father was like that? The grandfather was like that, and their great-grandfather was like that.
Mm.
So will she be like that? Will Polly's children be like that?
Yeah, she says to Jug, she's like, oh, will this kid end up to be like my father? Like, I'm afraid that he'll grow up to be like my father.
No, right. Those kids, being a product of inbreeding, have bigger problems to worry about.
True. No, it's just like, Betty is definitely struggling this entire episode with who she is and the embarrassment of facing the truth that her father was a serial killer who terrorized Riverdale.
Yeah.
And how can she just go out in public again? You know what I mean? Like, that is a lot to take for a young teenage girl, especially if her father killed this girl who was super popular in their school.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone's going to look at her being like, that's the girl, like, that's the Black Hood is her father. You know, like, whispering behind her back.
You know, I mean, I'll share this with your audience at home.
Yeah.
My father killed a bunch of my classmates. There was probably about 10 of them. I mean, they weren't, like, attractive and didn't have really any, like, they weren't popular.
Like, no status.
No apparent talents or you know, right. They weren't going anywhere. But
he killed. Not now.
No, not anymore. But he killed 10 of them, and it made me really popular. So I don't know what she's worried about.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
People are like, he's the guy. We should be nice to him. We don't want to cross people like that.
Right.
So I went through high school.
Your street cred went up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now that I know you. It's going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Now that I'm going to be like walking into restaurants like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas.
Yeah. That's my favorite. I love that reference. Go ahead, Raz.
All right, and then Betty chooses to drop out of the student council race, as well as Jughead, Reggie, and Josie.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah, so everyone is dropping like fries, and things are looking
like
pretty.
Like fries?
Like fries, yeah.
I think you meant dropping fries.
Like, well, no, you drop fries into a fryer. Right? Like,
as a human garbage disposal, I don't drop fries. I drop them in my mouth.
No, but they are dropping like flies. Yeah, and
like fries.
And the only person running against Archie right now is Ethel Underdog Muggs / the Bulldog. Did you see that poster on the wall?
I was
like, nice.
Yeah, Archie and Ethel, the only candidates remaining.
Right. Go ahead, bro.
And then Sheriff Mineta then announces that an anonymous tip. Sheriff Shady.
Thank you.
Sheriff Shady then announces that an anonymous tip in the second Hood case led them to a suspect. They find out that's it's Tall Boy. They find out that it was Tall Boy behind the town hall shooting.
Well, yeah. So first, Archie goes down to the station and he identifies Hal as the Hood.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the only part that confused me is like, all right, that's Hal Cooper right there. And he's like, okay. They're like, all right, go ahead. And you see a guy come out, right? And he puts the hood over Hal. Like, he, like, pulls it over his head. And they're like, is that him? And he's like, yeah, it's still Hal.
That's still Hal.
No, it's like his neighbor. Like, you would know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they didn't have to put the hood on. You would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. His eyes match up with what I was thinking. And, like, the body size or whatever, you know? But, like... Yeah, I was just like, what does this mean? I don't know. But then that's when he starts to ask Sheriff Mineta about Sheriff Shady, about who the second shooter was. And that's when this information is released. But go ahead, bud.
And then Betty apologizes to Fred about her dad shooting him. And Fred's like, oh, you don't have to apologize to me, Betty. It wasn't your fault, you know?
Yeah. One scene that we get to see next is Moose and Kevin share one of my favorite moments ever, especially in this episode. So Moose starts to have like a breakdown in the bathroom of the high school and is upset about Midge because during the riots, people moved all of her stuff or it was damaged. And so he starts to break down and cry and Kevin is there to console him. And then in the heat of this moment, they end up kissing. But what was great about that scene is the acting on both their parts. Because I feel like Kevin is such a great actor. Yeah.
I don't agree with anything you just said.
You bastard. No, go ahead.
And then Weatherby sends out an announcement to everybody to let the Serpents know that they have to leave Riverdale High to be transferred to Seaside High.
Right. So Weatherby is kicking the Serpents out of the school, and they're all pissed. And we get to see Sweet Pea show how upset he is. And I'm just like, I need more Sweet Pea in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I love him.
Sweet Pea.
I think he's a really good actor.
The name is so hilarious.
I know. I think he's a really good actor. And there's something about him, I think he might, whenever he goes on to do other projects, I think he has a leading man quality that, like, I don't know, I see it there, you know what I mean? But, anyways, that's me just glowing about
Sweetie. See, I don't know how to interpret people being upset on the show if they're not kicking over stools.
Right.
Because I was just like, I'm not feeling it.
Right.
I'm upset.
Here, throwing trash cans around.
Yeah, just throw something.
Yeah, and he's just like, he's upset, but he not to the level of throwing
not
something.
Kicking bench upset. Right. So I don't
not
buy
Reggie
it.
Reggie kicking benches upset. Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah,
go ahead. Then Betty talks to Archie and V about her not returning to school.
Right, yeah, so we see that, and like we said before, it's basically them talking to each other about the situation of her not wanting to show her face at school anymore. Yeah.
And then FP tells Jug that they're moving to Toledo to reunite with his mom and Jellybean.
Right, yeah, and before that, we see where V actually confronts her dad about his dealings with the Blossoms. She's like, I heard from the grapevine that you were meeting with the Blossoms, Uncle Claudius, and, well, not Uncle Claudius, but Claudius and
she
Penelope.
Calls him Uncle Claudius.
Yeah. And, and then Hiram's like, well, I'm thinking about getting into that maple syrup business. And I'm like, you are such a skeez. But I love it. I love it.
I have on my notes, Hiram is a rock star of a liar.
Oh, he's so cool.
Yeah. He's like that that car salesman, Roger Hicks, on the second season of Dexter.
Right.
He's basically a big fat liar. Deep cuts, everyone. Deep cuts.
And, he is like so... Like, you can honestly, you could tell when he's, like, lying, right?
Yeah.
But
as he holds his hands up and he shows that his fingers are crossed.
Right.
And his pants are on fire.
Yeah. His pants are on fire. He's just sitting there.
Dad, I know you're lying.
Smoking.
Liar, liar.
You just see everything smoking.
He's just like shaking his head like, nope.
Yeah, he's just smoking nope. A cigar. He's just smoking a cigar.
I'm not lying, Veronica.
I'm not lying. Dad, stand up, Dad.
Visually, I can tell you were lying.
No, and Hermione looks flawless in this scene because she's like wearing glasses and she's dressed to the nines.
I noticed that when I was watching the episode. Right? Like, she looks great.
She looks really good. Yeah. I was like, holy crap. Yeah. She should rock those glasses more.
I know.
So FP gets fired from Pops and he wants to leave town.
Yeah.
But Jughead doesn't want to see his sister and mother. He wants to stay back and help out the serpents.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not going. I'm staying.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not leaving town. I'm going to help out the serpents.
Dad, I have a responsibility to these questionable scumbags.
You know how I am, Dad. Yeah, no, I'm not leaving.
I care way too much about this, Dad.
Yeah. So then we hear the second shooter was killed during a gunfight and that it was Tallboy.
Another off-screen thing that would have been awesome to see.
Yeah. I don't know if they couldn't get the actor. Like, I don't know.
They just like ran out of money at the end of the season. They're like, oh, we've got these great scenes. We're going to show a war and we're going to show Tallboy getting shot. And they're just like, no, I don't think we have the budget for it.
Yeah, we'll just skip it and we'll just do it through dialogue.
Yeah, we'll just have them say it because that's just as exciting.
Right.
By the way, I took a nap during that part. Because I was like, well, you can't effing see this exciting stuff. I'm going to go to sleep.
I think they put a lot into the previous episode. So they were like, let's dial it back
let's dial it down.
Not give people anything fun to see.
Yeah.
And then Polly tells Betty that she wants to visit Hal in prison, but Betty doesn't want any part of it.
Yeah. And then we see where V goes and she blackmails her father.
Yeah.
To get her money back that she used for ransom money to get from Nick St. Clair's parents.
Yeah.
So V is like, hey, if you don't give me back that money that you put into a trust fund, quote unquote, I will tell everybody everything that you've been doing from this and that. And Hiram's like, all right, I just have to go to the bank. He's like, okay. Deal.
Yeah, Mara McCoy apparently specializes in blackmail.
Yeah, she's really good at it. Because we see this a couple times.
By the way, with Tallboy, is there another character that's short boy? Is there average-sized boy?
Yeah.
Are there...
Small fry, yeah.
I want to know if there's just...
Tallboy is not that tall, apparently. Now, Tallboy being the second shooter... was weird for me because... Mm-hmm.
I know what you're going to say because I thought the same thing.
Right.
Like, his stature did not match up.
No, the stature doesn't match up. And then his long hair, like, did he tuck it all under that hood? And if he did, that hood would look really weird, right?
I know. It looks weird whenever I shoot people wearing a black hood.
Right.
It just, you could tell.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is why I believe... that it was Hawkeye the entire time.
It's Hawkeye. No, because you did see a pig protruding
out of his eye socket. Guys, go back and watch the episode. It's all there.
A big pig sticking out of his eye socket.
Neither one of them are happy about the situation. The pig's kicking his legs. Hawkeye's in pain.
Yeah.
We're going off the rails here.
Everybody at Riverdale, wear the Southside Serpents jackets to save the serpents from leaving the school.
Well, yeah. So before that, we see where Cheryl actually warns Jughead that the police are going to raid the white worm.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the white worm should get closed
down. Yeah.
Because, like... there's all these kids hanging out in there buying beer.
It's a bar.
Yeah, it's like they're like letting all these underage kids inside.
They're like, oh yeah, this is like, keep this open.
Yeah, keep it open. It's like a staple of this community. Where else am I supposed to get drunk at 15?
And so Jughead's like, guys, grab anything that you can, and we're going to get out of here.
What was with that Lord of the Rings music they were playing? Remember that music they're playing when Gandalf, spoilers, takes a spill?
Right.
And it's like, that weird...
You shall not pass. Yeah. And like, they're playing that? I don't know.
Why are they trying to make me believe that the serpents are so important and special?
Yeah. I it's weird. Yeah.
It's like, we have to cause, you know, get these people across town. It's like, handled very dramatically.
Right.
Like, who are these people? Why am I supposed to care?
And why didn't Sweet Pea take Mortal Kombat 2 with him?
That's what I was. They didn't have take it?
No.
No, dude, wasn't it on a dolly?
No, I thought, I was like, was that a dolly? Can he put it on his back and like take it?
Hilarious would it be? He's just sweating.
He's like sweating. Oh,
can I get a little help?
But no, yeah.
No, and Jug's like, Sweet Pea, nobody plays Mortal Kombat anymore. He's like, I do.
By the way, when Cheryl gives him the warning,
I do.
Did anyone else? Did anybody else notice that when Cheryl gives Jughead the heads up, that it's so weird? Archie and Jughead are sitting there eating like bowls of ice cream or ice cream cake. I can't tell.
I don't know what
it
the
is.
Hell that is.
Yeah, it's just, but it's ice cream. But yeah. I don't know if it was in its cake form.
It's some sort of ice cream, or some form of it, but I don't know what it is.
No.
Yeah,
it looks weird. Can you see your I do one more time?
I do.
Thank you.
So then Fred opens his house to the serpents.
Yeah, it becomes a soup kitchen.
Yeah, and he's the man. This is why Fred needs to be mayor. He opens his house to the serpents. He's cooking breakfast for everyone. He's like, yeah, I worked one summer at Pops. He worked there one summer, and he's a pro. So FP comes, and he's like, wow, things are definitely changing if we got Fred Andrews opening his house to the serpents.
Yeah, we got Freddie Andrews opening the house to the serpents.
And that's when Jughead's like, yeah, you know, if it wasn't for Archie, like, helping out, like, this wouldn't have happened. And then Archie's like, hey, I have one more thing to do. You have any more jackets?
Well, I mean, I just to remind everybody that's paying attention to the show, at one point, Fred mentions that they have, like, money issues.
Right.
So now he's feeding the entire town.
Well, there's all the serpents.
There's, like, 40 of them.
There's, well, like, so many.
He got all his stuff at the dollar store that morning.
Maybe he has campaign money that he's using for personally.
The wrong reasons, yeah. He should not be mayor.
No, but I love Fred. Yes.
Fred is awesome.
He's the best.
Fred is cool.
So Fred does this. And everyone's awesome. They're hanging out. And that's when Archie is like, yeah, you got more jackets? And then Jughead's like, sure. And then they show up at the school of Riverdale.
Yeah.
And Weatherby comes down. Everyone's wearing serpent jackets.
Yeah.
And Weatherby's like, you guys have to leave. And Jughead's like, hey, I feel like you shouldn't discriminate because you're not that type of person. And if you kick out the serpents, you kick out all of us.
Yeah.
And do you really want all of your students to walk out? He's like, anyone? And he was like, you know what? You got to my heartstring. You could stay. Everyone's okay.
I wish, like, the kids were just like, oh, does anyone else's jacket smell like B.O. and booze?
It smells like cigarettes and booze,
someone
right?
Vomited on mine.
I think there's bullet holes in here.
They, like, reach in their pocket. They're like, oh, my God, there's a syringe in this one. The serpents aren't good.
I have a bunch of jingle jingle in my pockets.
Oh, my God, this smells terrible.
Oh, man. It's blood, sweat, and tears, and cocaine.
Mostly blood.
Go ahead, bud.
And you then, smell terrible.
And then V makes a deal with her dad to own Pops.
Yeah. So we get where Hiram shows up to the White Worm looking for Hawkeye, our boy.
That's the last time we get to make that noise, everyone, because he's effing dead.
No, he's still alive.
No.
He might be at Fred's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said before I fell asleep, so I think I was, like, dreaming my own episode.
Oh, yeah. No, he's still... They never really showed Hawkeye.
Oh, they did. Remember the episode where he was, like, the pig was sticking out of his eye?
Right. Yeah. No, but... So Hiram shows up. He's looking for Hawkeye. Instead, he comes across Veronica, who wants to trade the White Worm that she bought for Pops. And she is like, do you agree, Hiram? And Hiram's like, well, if you really want it that bad, you give up your shares in Lodge Industries. You don't get any money from me for anything anymore.
You're dead to me.
Yeah, he's basically like, you're not a Lodge anymore. And she's like, deal.
You know what would have been great is that if he just like took his belt off and just started beating her up.
Oh,
like,
no!
Yeah, because he's like, who are you to talk to? I'm your dad. Have some respect.
Yeah.
You sold your soul to the devil for me.
What?
What is going on?
Whoa!
Who's the devil? Jughead?
No, Archie.
Oh, Archie. All right. What? All right. Okay, go ahead, man. So Betty's really depressed.
Yeah, Betty's afraid that she might grow up to be like her dad, but Jughead says that she won't end up like him. You know, he won't end up like him.
That's what we talked about before is basically throughout this episode, Betty is just really struggling with who she is versus who her father was. And so it's like sins of the father, is that passed down to me? And most times it's not, you know? So go ahead, man.
And then Betty visits her dad in prison and tells him that she isn't like him and tells him says goodbye to him and tells him he has no power over her anymore.
Right. So Betty goes...
Howl looking all Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, I was just going to say that, too.
Really?
Yeah. Betty goes to see her father, which the scene is very similar to Silence of the Lambs. And
that's where they got that from. That's inspired by that.
Yeah. And if you look at Hal, who normally has like a shaggy haircut, has his hair slicked back. Yeah.
And he's just standing there in the cell like Hannibal Lecter when you first see him.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. We actually skipped over at the school during the voting booths, right? Yeah. Are all set up. I love the look Fred and Hermione kind of exchange really quick. Because I'm still on board with those two.
Getting it on.
Yeah. Like Hiram, cool. Mary, cool. But I don't know, man. I'm a Fred head. And I think Hermione should be a Fred head. And I think it should just happen again. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what?
I also
wrote down at this point in the episode, I think a few of Jughead's scratches fell off.
Yeah.
He's like Logan. It's like he's just healing super fast.
He is part werewolf.
Yeah. Vampire.
Right.
It's this funny thing, man, because like at the very beginning of the episode, he looked really bad. In fact, I was wondering if he was beaten up badly or if he was possessed by Pazuzu.
Oh, yeah.
Pazuzu.
Yeah, man.
He did have some weird scratches like...
For all you kids at home, go check out The Exorcist.
No, it is funny. Because he's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to pass Betty's vote, too. I'm like, I don't know if that's how elections work, man.
I know. That sounds a little shady. You're better than that.
Yeah. So, go ahead, bud.
And then Weatherby announces Archie as the new student body president and says that all the servants will remain at the school.
Okay. So
wait, what happened?
So, Weatherby, Archie wins the election.
Yeah, he nods.
Because he's like, your class president is Archie Andrews. And everyone's like, yeah! And they're all, like, excited, and they start barking. They're like, oh,
2002 resident team! Can I just put what I have in my notes here?
Yes.
Number one, Ethel is, like, super unpopular because she just cannot get anything
right.
These people.
Yeah.
The other thing... I thought it would have been hilarious if they announced that the new class president is Alice Cooper. And that they need to stop letting our parents participate in school activities.
Oh, my God. I know.
That's a callback to that Night to Remember episode.
Yeah, they're like, we'll just cast Alice in here, right? That would happen. And she just comes in and it's like, thunder.
That is the worst part of that season. Anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then FB steps down from being the leader of the Serpents and gives Jug the title.
Yes, Jughead becomes the Serpent King. And
take care of these scumbags, Jug.
He's like, all right.
Take care of them like they were your own. Make your daddy proud.
And so Jughead accepts, and the first thing he does is make Cheryl an official member of the Serpents.
Did she want to be?
I think maybe because her girlfriend was part of it. And yeah, there might be something missing that proves that. You know, I don't know.
All I know is
I think as Tony is a serpent that she just like goals yeah. with her.
They just needed a line of dialogue real quick. She should have been like, hey, I think I could pull off that jacket. Great. Maybe someday we'll let you be a member. Move on.
Oh, and one thing she does say.
Hope it's red.
Earlier in the episode, which gives her, like, her mom's like, where are you going? She's like, oh, I'm bringing all these treats down to the White Worm for my serpent friends and stuff. So I don't know, like, and then she hears about the warning because the mother's like,
yeah.
oh, the sheriff is going to raid there, blah, blah, blah. But Cheryl, so I don't know. They never really pushed the idea yeah. that Cheryl even wants to
be part of the Serpents. Yeah, I was confused when I saw that.
But, I mean, Cheryl in the previous episode did go with Jughead to rescue Tony. So she does get Tony free. So I don't know, that act of freeing that's like a serpent gives her like the privilege of joining.
Don't be an apologist.
I don't know. But go ahead, bud.
Yeah, and then Cheryl then receives a red serpent jacket from Jug.
Right.
Good thing they had it in red, too.
Then we see where Fred loses the election.
Alice Cooper actually won that election, too.
Right.
Yeah.
What is up with her?
I know, she gets everything.
Thunder, baby, thunder. So then Fred loses the election, but gets greeted by a gracious Hermione.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was yeah. really tasteless when she walked in to shake his hand, and he went for it, and she was like, psych! Loser!
No, I think she's starting to realize. I think Veronica opened her eyes a little bit more to Hiram, and I think she... There are feelings, I think, that are still there for Fred.
Yeah.
I have feelings for Fred.
I think everyone loves Fred.
We do.
We're all Fred heads here.
Yeah.
So, next we see where Archie goes face to face with Hiram.
Yeah. That's right next, yeah.
And that's a great scene.
Yeah, the hair on your arms raise.
Yeah. He's like,
palpable tension in the room.
Yeah. He's like, go ahead, wrestle me. Wrestle me, Hiram.
Come on, just wrestle me.
Hiram's like, you have a knife, man. I'm not going to mess with you.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. But go ahead.
And then we skip the part. Betty tells her mom that she visited Hal in prison and says she wants to go back to school. That's the part we missed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now we're deep into the
office.
Yeah. So reading.
Into the study we go.
Into the study.
So Archie confronts Hiram and he says the following.
I think you're... I don't think you're very cool anymore.
Yeah, I looked up to you, and you took advantage of me at my weakest point.
And Hiram says...
After my dad was shot.
And he says to him, he says, I don't care. Deal with it, you little bitch. Now strip down, and we're gonna wrestle on this floor.
If I go anymore, I'll start to sound like Harvey Fierstein.
Do it.
I can't do it anymore. Oh, Mrs. Connolly. Sorry. No pictures.
No pictures.
No, so go ahead, buddy.
And then V and the gang get together to talk about her plans for Pops and the hangout in the basement of Pops.
Right, so...
Oh, wait a minute. Really quick, before we got out of the office...
Yeah.
Archie pulls out... what I called many episodes ago the Blade of Foreshadowing, and
right.
I stated that it was coming back because they set it up, and it came back, and then he puts that blade deep into the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Hiram's desk, and Hiram just kind of gives it like a look like, that was a $10,000
desk, you little prick.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Millennials.
I think he was more upset about the desk than anything.
Yeah. And then he said to, and then he said to Archie... Like, he's like, I know I upset you, but will you please not talk about me to your friends? Because I cannot handle criticism.
I hate teenagers.
I don't like when they say mean things about me.
The teenagers get me upset when I'm part of the gossip.
I just don't want to be a part of it.
So, yeah.
Teenagers!
So, V plans on reopening the speakeasy in the Pops' basement because yeah. Pops is like, yeah, back in the day there was a little speakeasy under the restaurant and people used to go there and
sing.
They
used to swing and dance.
They used to sing.
Hot jazz music.
It was the best ticket in town.
The hottest ticket in town.
It's the hottest ticket in town.
Shay.
Everyone's out there doing the Charleston.
These are our boys going out to fight for Uncle Sam.
Don't forget your cheeseburgers, huh?
Don't forget to stop at Pops before you go fight for Uncle Sam. To go fight for Lady Liberty.
Oh, man.
These are some of our hottest flapper girls. Give them a good wave to the boys overseas.
Hello. Goodbye. All right, that's good.
Hiram talks to Penelope and Penny about his plans for the gang.
Hiram has a Legion of Doom.
He's gonna make the same joke. And then I also put in my notes an alternate, because in case you got there first, it's the Evil League of Evil from Dr. Horrible.
Yes. And so he has this meeting with Penny, the Blossoms, Claudius, and Penelope. Malachi from the Ghoulies, mm-hmm. and Sheriff Shady. Sheriff Manetta.
No, Shady.
Yeah. So his plans are Claudius is going to be the new Clifford. He's going to be supplying the new drugs in Riverdale. The Ghoulies will be the dealers. Penelope wants to open a brothel.
Yeah, that's the best thing about that. She's like, what about my brothel?
He's like, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Hold up there.
Bro. I have certain plans for that. Yeah. Like, he's like putting a lot more work into that.
He's like Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
You know that alternate version of, yeah.
Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those that don't know, I immediately, when you said Mr. Potter,
yeah. I think. You know, like that alternate future when they show it and it just looks like Sleaze
Town,
USA?
It's like Pottersville.
Yeah. I was thinking about Mr. Potter and Dawson's Creek.
Oh. See, you could always go with Harry Potter, which I think a lot of people would go there first,
and,
right?
And Rick Potter, who is a name I just made up. But go
on. Nice. All right. And so, yeah, they're having this meeting. And then, so Penelope wants to open a brothel, right? Yeah. And then he's like, and you, Penny Peabody, or Penelope wants to open the brothel. Penny Peabody, he's like, and you're going to troubleshoot for us. And I'm like, whatever that is.
She says.
Oh, Penelope? And then he's like, but next time you better kill that Jughead Jones. And you're like, he's a teenager. Why do you want him dead?
I know. I don't want him writing mean articles about me anymore.
he fears Jughead.
Yeah.
He fears him.
Jughead is the biggest thorn in Hiram's side.
And then he goes to Penelope.
Jughead!
He says to Penelope, you had a heart all along.
Yeah.
That's really the ending of The Wizard of Oz.
Right. And then they're like, what are we going to do? Oh, Claudius. He says, what are we going to do about those meddling teenagers?
Yeah, like Scooby-Doo.
Right. And with that hang out with your daughter, he's like, don't worry. I'm going to take out their glue, the thing that keeps them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is obviously our boy, our homie.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Of course. So then Bali drafts her mom into the cult.
It's like, Mom, I want you to talk to my friend Charlie Manson.
Right. Yeah, basically. He's pretty cool. He talks about this Helter Skelter.
Yeah,
that.
It's pretty neat. You should check him Bali. Out. Who the hell is Bali?
A Polly.
Oh, it's a Bali.
Yeah, you know the Bali? Worst character on the show, Ross?
Who's that?
Polly.
And then Josie ends the episode by singing the national anthem.
I like when she starts singing a national anthem, and then Hiram walked out, and he goes, what a lovely, lovely singing voice.
What a lovely, lovely voice.
I also have an alternate to that. So that's the worst version of the national anthem since Roseanne Barr.
Oh, no. I like her.
No, I do too.
Yeah.
No, I did, but I had to make a reference that no one will understand.
So at the student assembly, right? We see the awesome Archie in the mirror moment that we catch from season one,
mm-hmm.
where everything seems right in the world, right?
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite seasons. Like, in season one, that's, like, one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
Archie goes to the bathroom. He just, like, had this great night with Veronica. He's going to have breakfast with his dad. And he's, like, washing his hands. He takes a second to look in the mirror, and he gives, like, wow, everything's going pretty good.
Nothing bad's going to happen today.
Yeah, and he walks out, Black Hood happens, right?
Yeah.
So we get this moment again. So Archie wins class president.
Yeah.
And he's looking around, and he looks at the serpents. They're all cheering for Archie
because
Archie got them to stay in school. And then he looks at his friends and they're all excited that Archie's winning because they're who better than Archie because he's a pure heart. You know what I mean? And then he even sees Reggie and a couple bulldogs and they're all like cheering for him. And so all seems right in the world. And that's when he sees Hiram. And Hiram walks in and he gives like a little nod. Like, and it's such like a villain thing. Yeah. It's just like, happy to see you, bud. Right. Yeah. And then we see where the police come in, Sheriff Shady leading them. Right. They arrest Archie. And that's when everyone's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
It's for Andre, what Andre did.
Yeah.
Because Andre killed that teenager when they went to that cabin.
Yeah.
And so
Cassidy.
Yeah. Right. And even Archie mentions that in the study. He's like, you know, Andre killed. I was basically there to see that murder.
Yeah.
And it was Andre that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't know if that's what like triggered.
What's the guy's name that died?
Cassidy.
I think it's really funny. It's just this is just like a person that writes.
Right.
This jumped out at me. He's like, oh, you're the Shadow Lake resident, Cassidy, whatever.
Right. And
it's just they had to put the Shadow Lake resident part so that you knew who the hell they were talking about.
Right.
Because they could just say his name. They're like, oh, from this past episode when they were at the lake.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Everybody forgets that episode.
You'd just be like, oh, wait, who? And like, oh, the Shadow Lake resident.
I don't know if it was Hiram when he was talking to Archie and Archie said about Cassidy, which inspired Hiram to be like, oh yeah, you know what, I could probably frame him for that.
Why not?
Yeah. He's like, thanks, Arch.
Yeah.
Oh, screw you for doing that to my desk.
Yeah, that's what you're gonna yeah. All those articles you guys were writing about me and ruining my desk. And
yeah, I think he's really pissed about that desk.
No more teenagers.
Yeah. Oh my god, what if that's the overall thing with the prison? He just wants to lock up all the teenagers. Yeah. Finally, it's a place for middle-aged men.
Like me.
I'm so happy to be walking the streets free of teenagers.
But Ross, you were on a whole different level of turn tonight. You're yelling a lot. Like
yelling and
he's like, these teenagers!
I think he's just really exhilarated to be out of prison for a couple
hours. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, must be nice.
You
people at home can't see this right now, but I see like red and blue flashing lights outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So we better get to these plugs. Overall, let's talk about the season. Like, did you guys enjoy this season more or less than season one?
For me, season one will always, I feel like, is better than season two. Season two is really good, but season one, every episode, like there was in season one, there was no filler. Every episode was solid, and all 13 episodes were really good. Season two, the majority of it is really good. I think it's really good, but there is episodes that are sort of filler, you know?
Right, yeah.
I was thinking about this, and I think I might know what the issue is. I think season two, because you know the first season is like, what, 13 episodes?
13. Right.
Yeah.
I think the show in general should run about 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that they basically blew through material that could have been used for two separate seasons. Because I think season two should have just been about the Black Hood, and then you resolve that, and then you get into the next season, and it's about like almost like the corruption of Archie, like trying to like reacting to all the crazy stuff that happened, like with the Black Hood. And now he's sort of like, oh, Hiram wants to do this prison thing.
Right.
Like, it just seemed like muddled a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it would have felt more streamlined, especially the Black Hood stuff. Like, I thought that stuff was really interesting in the beginning, but then like they dragged it out too long. But if it was his own separate 13 episode thing, then it would have felt like it had more impact when it ended.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like break it up and like have it like 11 or 12 season or episodes season 2 and then have 11 or 12 episodes season 3.
Yeah, to have the whole thing just be about like the first part of it, like the stuff with the Black Hood.
Yeah.
Deal with that, and then the next, maybe the following season could have just been about Hiram Lodge and like his plans and the stuff that he was doing and the rift between Fred.
Right.
And it probably would have been more like clear and concise.
Cohesive.
Yeah.
Cohesive.
And you would have understood why Archie wanted to, you know, why he was supporting the prison and like that relationship between he and Fred being strained.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think they just kind of went through a lot of material really quickly, and TV shows do that a lot when they're just like, oh, this is a hit, now we have to pump out something else, make it interesting, throw everything in there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I feel like they could have, separated this into two different seasons.
Yeah.
And one being the Black Hood, the other stuff with, like, Chick and Hiram. You know what I mean?
Just, like, because it all just felt like they were two separate things that didn't really jive
for
me. Yeah. But, I mean, the season was, if anything, entertaining. There's a lot of stuff that was kind of, like, half-baked a little bit. But
Right. You know. No, there are, like, episodes in this that are so freaking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That are probably, for me, that I love more than episodes of season one.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But there are certain episodes in this that I'm like, oh man, this kind of feels like a filler.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It does, but, yeah. Like the majority of season two is really good, but you have like, I'd say like, I don't know, two or three episodes that they could have did without.
Right.
Like that's the problem with having a drama show that runs that many episodes. Mm-hmm. It's just that like, it's really hard to tell. And they're like like 40 minutes.
Yeah, 45, like 40, 42.
So, yeah, so like, or 42, if you have 22, 23 episodes with that length, it's like the story starts to thin out a little bit, and you have to fill it with a bunch of other crap, and you start to feel it a little bit. But I really like, you know, like how many episodes Game of Thrones is, and like...
Right, yeah, it's like about Dexter, 10 episodes.
Dexter, yeah, 12 every season.
And it was like, there was no time to screw around, really.
Right.
It's just like, it just felt like the, like, you know, it was more exciting and
There was less room for like error or margin.
Less room for filler.
Right. And I agree. I feel like even though they had these filler episodes, certain filler episodes were like I was digging.
Yeah.
I was like
were
really
fun.
Into. Yeah. Yeah. Like I do.
Yeah, they weren't bad filler. I'm not saying they were bad, but like filler is filler. Like you just don't need it.
I personally like Tales from the Dark Side sticks out to me. It's kind of like a filler episode, but to me, I really loved it. It's for sure one of my favorites. The musical is awesome.
Yeah, I love the musical.
I think
musical
I liked it better favorite. The second time around. Yeah, like the first time I watched it, I'm like, okay, it's
musical's fine. My favorite.
But then there's like just certain moments where I'm like, yeah, this episode is kind of a drag. Like there's nothing that really happens
And that's the thing with storytelling. Like, you really have to keep things moving forward. I'm sure really, like, in any screenwriting book, they will tell you if something seems tangential and it doesn't really add anything to the overall proceedings, and you probably should just cut it.
Yeah. Right.
But I get it. It's a thing where they're like, well...
We
ordered 20...
Right.
They wanted them to pump out 22 episodes.
It's not like a thing like if you're... like doing a show like The Simpsons where it's always like isolated stories unless it's the two-part season finale of 6 with Who Shot Mr. Burns, which goes right into the first episode of season 7 as a conclusion. You can like generally that show it's all just like, you know, standalone stories, but when you have an overarching storyline and you try to stretch it out 20 some episodes, you're just like, let's put a musical episode in there.
Yeah, that's not, and I don't mind filler episodes sometimes, but like
it's like the crypto episode of Smallville.
I love it, but I don't know. Like I to me, I would say this second season is really good, and would I recommend people watching it? Yeah, absolutely.
No, absolutely. It's like if you're a fan of the show, like
watch
you're gonna dig
it.
It's just going to feel a little muddled at times.
Right.
But it's just like the thing with Hal. Like, I really feel like that should have been resolved like much earlier in the season, because you do get to that point. It's the worst thing about it for me is that you get to the reveal of the Black Hood and you're literally feeling like Cheryl where you're like, Hal?
Yeah.
It's the really? Black Hood.
But, I mean, there's certain cool things that was always there. Right? That, like, when I was rewatching it and you see it more, like, it was totally Hal from the get-go.
Sure.
Like, when she's having that dream sequence on Christmas, And she comes downstairs and she sees her father and he's in the Santa suit. And then she, like, looks closer. And it, then it's all of a sudden a guy in a black hood in the Santa suit.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, that's cool foreshadowing. But it could have been, you know, like, it would go over people's, like, the audience's head because it happens so quick.
Sure.
But if you're watching it the second time through, you're like, oh, shit, it's right there that it's Hal this whole time, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff,
though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think that if it was... If it was streamed on a little bit more, then I think the reveal probably would have actually landed better.
Yeah.
But you're just like, who could it be? And then it's just like the most unimpressive person on the right. show. Where you're like, oh, the toiletry guy?
I feel like the the thing about this season, I feel like the mid-season finale, like the mid-season, like before break, where Archie chases down the Black Hood, that whole episode felt more like a season finale than this episode.
Yeah.
Same with, like, Judgment Night. But, like, I understand, like, sometimes you do want to see the results, like, the immediate results of what is happening. And so Judgment Night to see, like, the immediate results. Because that's what Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, originally he was like, oh, they'll find out who the murderer is and stop the murderer, right? Like, that all would happen. But it was like Greg Berlanti's like, you should like do like a follow up.
Yeah, like I agree with that too.
And it was so cool. Yeah, and so that season you get finale to see it is really good.
A little bit, like,
right,
and then you can kind of like lay the groundwork for what the next season is going
to
be.
What's coming up? Yeah. So I think they tried to capitalize on that and do it again with this season finale, and yeah, I liked it. I don't know. I would say I do like this episode, and I would give this season. 4 out of 5 Pops Burgers.
Okay. So the first season being 5?
Yeah, I would say the first one's 5.
Yeah, I'd give it first season 5. This season, I'd give like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. How about you?
Like, in honesty?
Yeah.
Probably like... Because I remember when I first started talking to you about the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how's the second season? And you both were sort of like...
It was
good.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, then I started watching it, and I was like, I like this a little bit more, because it was, like, a little darker.
Yeah.
It was like really interesting, and then it kind of falls off a little bit.
Yeah.
So, to me, I feel like it's, like, in the mid-area. So, if you're doing, like, 1 out of 5, I'd probably do, like, a 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
Not bad.
But it's not, like, you know.
Right. I think,
it's
like...
It's, like, a little bit...
It's like any show. Nothing will ever be, like, every show's first season, it always comes off really, like, it's just really, really good. And then you try to follow it up with a second season, and it's never as good as that first season. You could say that about any show. Any show you could say that about.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I know, like, a lot of people, a lot of them. Like, I know a lot of people like, say, like, the later seasons of Breaking Bad a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Something like Dexter, like, I was more partial to, like, the second and fourth seasons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I don't mean
that. But I know you're saying, like, certain shows. Yeah.
That's
like your introduction to the world, and it's like that first
It's like when a band makes their first, their debut
album.
And they
never get away from it.
Yeah, their debut album. It's like music. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, some bands, first album is always better than the other albums. It's just like that with music. It's the same thing. Well, movies. Sometimes movies, too. The first movie of a series. Same thing.
Except The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Terminator 2.
T2. Right.
Aliens.
Well, Aliens people go back and forth.
Alien Aliens.
Yeah. You know, good luck.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you're right.
Titanic 2. No, I'm just kidding.
They're making that.
I heard.
What is that going to be?
I don't know.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Titanic 2, The Voyage Home.
I don't know.
How cool would it be if it was a ghost ship?
I would, okay, if they were like, let's make a sequel to Titanic, I would just do, like, Rose Dawson. And you see her in her acting career, right?
No, they want that ship sinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll be from a different perspective.
Titanic.
Oh, you know what'd be weird? Maybe it's a different story in the Titanic.
Oh,
so maybe at one point the new characters run past Jack and Rose. Like,
that'd
be
neat.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think they should do like another love story or something like
that? No, it's a horror movie.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, dude, how cool. Like, it's just like a guy
He's like the Titanic slasher. Oh. The trailer's like...
It's actually Jack the Ripper. He's still alive.
You've read the history books, but here's the true story of the Titanic slasher.
Yeah, I like that. And he's just going around... killing the third class passengers.
His name is Slash Street.
Titanic. The
Slash Streets?
What? Slash Street. Oh, no.
Slash Street.
Oh, you better run. Here comes Slash Street.
Slash Street?
Oh, my God.
I'm Slash Street, and these are my boys. You can call me the Slash Street boys.
Oh, my God. Okay. Where are you? Is that someone you are in prison with? Like what
No.
I think Russ just had a stroke.
I don't know. He was like real goofy this week.
But he's got to live up this freedom because seriously, guys, the police have a lineup outside right now. They have their guns drawn,
and they're just ready to shoot. They are ready. As soon as
I walk out, I'm back in the pin.
Yeah,
back in the pin.
But he might break out for the start of the next season.
Yeah. You got this.
You probably should just try to like get out for episodes.
Yeah,
you know,
I could have time away.
No, you can not in jail.
Well, you broke out, like so. I think you're gonna be on lockdown.
Oh my god, maybe you can Andy Dufresne it.
Yeah,
just like dig a. I'll dig a hole.
Yeah.
Well, I'll
get a Rita Hayworth poster. Start digging. I would say get.
This is like going through like Rita Hayworth?
Rita Hayworth? How old are you?
What the heck?
But Rita Hayworth.
Well, no, he'll like, have like a Riverdale poster.
Oh, that's great. Just
Veronica.
Veronica? No. No, you know who he should get? Hiram.
Oh.
Hiram.
I was going to say Hal.
Yeah. Who would break out of jail in Riverdale? Oh, well, the only person that went to jail was Hiram.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Yeah, Hiram. You get a Hiram poster, and you just put it down, right?
Yeah.
And you just chip away at the wall, and then you just go into the sewer system.
Just make friends with someone named Red.
You know, right.
Red?
Yeah. He's a goat. Good guy.
He's the good guy to go to.
Yeah.
You can get things done.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, Bert, do you have anything to plug, bud?
Do I have anything to plug? Party City.
Yeah.
It's still Party City. And this is why. I bought, I have a cat named Pumpkin, and I just bought him a Halloween costume of a pumpkin. So that lit my night on fire.
Yeah. I was there, and he was pumped.
I'm pumped.
So great.
Follow up on the short film thing. We just had a meeting with some filmmakers to start getting some stuff going. So there's traction, guys.
That's my
plug is for something that does not yet exist.
Yes.
But that is some stuff.
Yeah. I would like to give a shout out to my friend Adam Farley. You can check out his music on Google.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify.
iTunes,
SoundCloud, and he has a show coming up in January with Bubba Sparks, which he was pretty famous back in the early 2000s.
Really? But,
yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Huh. That's like kind of a big land for Adam, you know, just getting back into the music game. Sure. So it's pretty cool. And then Russ, go ahead.
I would like to give a shout out.
Oh my God!
Oh boy!
Oh my God!
To my voice teacher Leah, she has a band called The Frost, a local band that she's in.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she, you know, I'm doing really well with that, and you'll hear some songs from me soon.
Really?
Nice. I'm not going to record, but like you'll eventually hear me.
Oh, all right.
Do you want to give a shout out to Eugene?
Yeah, shout out to my cellmate, Eugene.
Yeah. I'm coming home.
And then, if you guys want to follow us on Twitter, we are at the River Dudes Pod. You can follow us on Instagram, River Dudes Podcast.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys don't mind stopping by iTunes and giving us a rate and review, that would help us out greatly. Also, finally... we are doing a Sabrina podcast. Yep. It just came out.
Sabrina's on Netflix now. Go watch it now.
All right.
Or he'll come get you.
Yeah. He is a convict. Yeah. And so, no, we are going to do a podcast about Sabrina. Yep. It's really exciting. I cannot wait myself.
Yeah, we're gonna do a podcast of the first episode soon. I gotta watch the first episode, so it'll be soon.
Yeah. Do you guys have Netflix in prison or no?
Oh yeah.
All right.
So yeah, that's what your tax money is going towards. You're keeping people like Ross Jones entertained.
Oh god. No,
because Eugene kicks him.
Yeah. Eugene's like, shut up. He's like, oh, I'm watching Netflix.
Ross is just on his side getting kicked watching.
I'm watching Sabrina, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's watching Sabrina. Let's get him, boys.
Get him. Then now's the time to attack.
Don't hurt me.
Oh.
Whoa. Ross must have did some coke on his way out there.
He must.
He
was wild the other night. He was, like, making, like, crazy accusations. I don't know. He was, like, crazy.
Oh, and then, yeah, let EJ laugh a little bit. But if you want to follow us on Instagram, we have on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We have a Twitter page for that. It's at Chilling Coven on Twitter.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot to talk about that too. And with that being said, guys, thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
And we are happy to say, like, we can't believe we did season two, and thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you for your support. And couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, and personally, I hate all of you.
And Rory hates all of you.
Every single one of you at home, you're just the worst.
But guys, without any more, thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate all of your support. And all I have to say is, River Dudes out! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of River Dudes. I'm your host, EJ Leeson, and tonight I have to make a sad announcement. My co-host, Ross Jones, Airhorn, he has been arrested. Over the past year, Ross has been committing a lot of crimes, joining gangs, and shooting people as the alias of Black Hood. Oh, man. Okay.